I will call this meeting of the Agriculture, Finance, and Policy Committee to order. A quorum is present. Representative Lee, would you like to move the minutes from February 23rd?
So move, Mr. Chair.
Representative Lee moves the minutes from February 23rd. Any discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion prevails. The minutes are adopted. Members and audience, we're going to, because of the extended floor session, we're going to move forward. They did announce on the floor that we could come back after caucuses tonight. Co-Chair Anderson and I would like not to do that. And we also know that the dairy industry is here, so we're going to move the agenda around just a little bit. We've got the first bill is House File 3474. We're going to take that one. That one's going to be laid over, but we have to make some technical changes to that, so we want to get that done, and then we'll go to dairy. But before we start any of that, Co-Chair Anderson, you wanted to bring up the Department of Ag.
Thank you, Chair Hansen. In committee the other day, we had a little bit of a misunderstanding on some of the provisions of a bill I was carrying, and I talked with Commissioner Vobel, and she agreed to come up and to kind of set the record straight, Mr. Chair.
Welcome, Commissioner Vobel.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. And I will be quick. I know we've got a tight schedule. Thank you so much for letting me just correct the record. I just wanted to address folks to clarify. So on the record on Monday, we were talking about Chair Anderson's House File 3548, which included proposed changes to the down payment assistance program. I stated that the ideas about zoning and acreage limits did not come from the Minnesota Department of Agriculture, and I was incorrect in that statement. We forgot that there was a list of ideas that we had brainstormed at the end of session last year and had offered up as a starting point for discussion. So since last year, we've approached some of the issues that arose administratively and thus didn't offer up these suggestions again. And so it was our fault that we had not clarified that with Chair Anderson. So after reviewing the zoning and acreage minimum ideas we were considering last session, we discovered there is much more nuance at the local zoning level. An ag zoning requirement would affect both small specialty crop farms, as was noted by testifiers on Monday, as well as conventional 40-plus acre farms, which are sometimes zoned residential to allow a home, but the town also allows agricultural use. We would prefer to make this an administrative decision and continue to require appraisals, business plans, verification of land use with the local municipality, and other means as necessary when reviewing purchases for lots that are not zoned for agriculture. We would support something like a $1,000 revenue requirement or something along those lines instead of a zoning acreage requirement. And we also do support the set aside for the purchase agreements and the readiness requirements. So again, my sincere apologies for the misunderstanding and for the incorrect statement on the record on Monday. I just wanted to clarify, and I'm happy to answer any questions folks have.
Members, are there any questions? Co-Chair Anders.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I would just say thank you for correcting the record and appreciate working with you, and we'll work together going forward.
Thank you. Vice Chair Smith.
All right. So while Chair Hansen works his way up, we are moving to House File 3474. Rep. Hansen, would you like to move your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move House File 3474. Agricultural Utilization Research Institute grant funding provided. And just a quick introduction on this. And Co-Chair Anderson and I, under the agreement for dealing with the session, I was the AURI appointee for the first year, and now I've handed that off. So Co-Chair Anderson is the AURI appointee for the second year. And during that process, learned that there has been an unanticipated expenditure for AURI. It was discussed a little bit at the last meeting. There will be some things that AURI is not able to talk about, as it is an issue relating to litigation. And so for members who may be new, there is a procedure where the legislature may consider deficiency bills, things that were unanticipated and unanticipated costs. And so House File 3474 is a my intent is that as a deficiency bill that could be coming from this year's appropriations, not taking from another one, but whatever is on the bottom line. I don't know if there are other deficiency bills, but this bill was written as $50,000 for legal fees. There has been plenty of precedent in other committees, particularly with DNR and PCA on legal fees. So this is a relatively small cost, but I do need to make a technical amendment, the A2 amendment, but there's also a technical change that needs to be made to that amendment to get the bill in the shape I would like. We wanted to have the exact cost of what so far has been the legal fees, maybe Mr. Savory, if you could describe what is needed to happen.
Mr. Savory?
Chair and members, there's just a technical item on line 1.2 on the A2 amendment, and I believe the intent would be to not have it go below the thousands for $78,500, so it would be $78,000 as a new appropriation for the legal fees, and I would turn it over to Ms. Mollenbach to just clarify that.
Ms. Mollenbach.
Chair members, the oral amendment would be page 1, line 7, delete $50,000 and insert $78,000.
And I would move that oral amendment with the technical change. So describing the amendment, we can't have an amendment that's at $500. So the total cost is about $78,395. So we just need to make that technical change for $7,800. And so I would move that and ask for your support.
All right. Thank you, Rep. Hansen. So Rep. Hansen has moved the A2 with technical correction. Any questions before we move on? All right. To incorporate that, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. The motion prevails. The A2 amendment is adopted. Representative Hansen, to your bill as amended.
Thank you, members, and we will be laying this bill over so we know a little more on what's possible. But we do have testifiers, and so I have AURI, and then I believe Farm Bureau is able to testify to the bill. So welcome them up.
All right. Thank you, Chair Hansen. I believe we have Ms. Schlecht from Mr. Schlecht, and Hunter Peterson is going to be afterwards. So.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Shannon Schlecht, Executive Director at ARI. And I, as far as this this bill, ARI is defending its brand and reputation through this process, and this requires some additional legal expenses or one-time legal expenses. We initiated a dispute with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office when we became aware of another company that was using ARI for their food products. We are in that process now through the Trademark Trial and Appeal Board, and that decision should come by July 2026. That decision will exert pressure on this other company, ARI Nutrition, to stop using that branding overall. But overall, it could result or require us to sue them. And right in terms of a next step, if they do not stop using that trademark, in general, it's better to do this sooner than later, and for us to continue moving this forward. We've already experienced a fair amount of confusion with over 100 examples of being contacted, thinking that we are producing their food product, and consumers calling us and asking us if we are that entity that is producing the food product under AURI. We have also, of course, are concerned that legitimate Minnesota businesses are being misdirected when they're looking for our services and being directed to this other company that's using AURI in the food space. As noted, I think we have a strong case, and we're going through this process. We believe this is the lowest cost way for us to exert pressure to protect our brand and our trademark that we've worked over 35 years to do so. And our board is very supportive of moving this forward and protecting our 35 years, right, plus years of reputation of supporting food and egg businesses and making sure that they are able to find us, right, and that we can continue providing the services that we have done so for many years. With that, I'll turn it back over.
Thank you, Director. I know you mentioned that in your presentation to us last week, so glad that we're able to hear a bill early on in this session to help here. Moving on to our next testifier, Mr. Peterson.
Thank you, Chair Smith. For the record, my name is Hunter Peterson, and I serve as the Public Policy Specialist at Minnesota Farm Bureau Federation. We were founded in 1919, and we're a grassroots, nonpartisan general farm organization with over 30,000 family farm and ranch members across the state. And I'm here to express our strong support for House File 3474, which has already been described. AURI is a necessary and powerful resource for Minnesota farmers. It provides access to research, technology, and marketing tools that help farmers innovate and grow. Utilizing staff with extensive agriculture industry expertise, AURI assists farmers in developing new products while also creating opportunities to find additional markets for the commodities they currently raise. And as Mr. Schleck said, through no fault of their own, AURI finds themselves engaged in a legal dispute with another entity, and providing funds to cover these legal costs will hopefully lead to resolution of this dispute and allow them to return their full attention to the important business of helping farmers expand their businesses and markets. So I would like to thank Chair Hansen and Chair Anderson for bringing the bill forward in a bipartisan fashion, and appreciate the opportunity to testify and support today. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is there any other members of the public, people in the audience, who would like to testify for or against this bill? Doesn't look like it. Members, before we get to questions for the bill author, any questions for our testifiers? Chair Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Mr. Schleck, just to explain, I guess, a little bit of hesitancy on our side. We were told early on that we have no money to spend this year, and if there is to be a deficiency bill, we would certainly support funding going to ARI. That's the reason we are moving, not to move this along today. But I do have one question, and maybe you can't comment on this as you're still involved in litigation, but is there any chance, as this moves forward and comes to resolution, that you could have any recovery of attorney fees, things like that? What would that look like?
Director?
Yeah, Mr. Chair and Representative Anderson, it's a good question. I can't really speak to the recovery of funds at this point. In terms of what that would look like, this is an appeal process. I think that would be more perhaps next steps. All right, but I can't really speak to detail on that.
Do you want to follow up, Chair?
Just totally understood. Thank you.
Representative Jacob, did you have a question?
Thank you, Chair Smith. So first of all, so I'm clear, are you the plaintiff or the defendant here?
Director?
Yeah, Mr. Chair and Representative, we are the opposer, right, in this process. There is ARN Nutrition, or Eject Ventures, has filed for a trademark using ARI, and so we are opposing that when we became aware of them using our name in their food product.
Representative Jacob.
Okay, thank you, Chair Smith. So does $78,000, does that guarantee any kind of result, or does that just mean that they could dispute this further and have the taxpayers on the hook for another $78,000?
Director Schlecht.
Mr. Chair, Representative, I can't really speak to that. Overall, these are our costs that we've incurred to date to protect our brand overall. And we are going through this first step, and we'll get a decision, I said, around July 2026. And at that point, we'll have more decisions to make.
So thank you.
Do you want to follow up?
Oh, nope.
That's good. Thank you.
Don't see any other questions for our testifiers. You folks can find your seats if you'd like. Any further discussion to the bill? Oh, I'm sorry. Vice Chair Harder, did you have a question? I apologize. Go ahead.
Thank you. Sorry for being late to ask the question. So my question is, you were here on a previous meeting. You talked about your budget or whatever else. And in there, I believe that you said that there was a $500,000, I think, was it $5 million? I forget, they're in reserves. Is there a reason why that your reserves can't be used for this versus the taxpayer? I'm just, if you could answer that, that'd be awesome. Thank you.
Director Schlecht?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Representative, thank you for the question. We do have reserve spends, reserves dollars that we can use towards this that the board has approved in our budget. Our concern is that if we use those dollars here, we can't use them on programs. We're trying to be supporting the producers and entrepreneurs and businesses overall in terms of the putting dollars towards our impactful programs. The reserves are available for this. The board's approved our legal expense funds, but they also directed us to look at recovering those funds through different options so we could apply as many funds as we can to our programs.
Vice Chair Hart, did you have a follow-up? Okay. Now, I believe, gentlemen, you can return to your seats. Any questions for the bill author? Any other discussion from members? Doesn't look like it. Representative Hansen, any closing comments or remarks?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think it's important to note that the reserves, the availability of reserves has been reduced. There is less reserves now than there have been because of spending. We have invested, as a state of Minnesota, the taxpayers' dollars into AORI for 35 years. And what we're trying to do here is to protect the brand so we don't lose that investment of taxpayer dollars over all those years, that we can be making sure that this can continue to provide service so people aren't being misdirected or misled. And that way, that if we had to come back for more, we would have to come back for more. This is the expense as of now. That was the correct, the reason for the correction. And if there was future expenses, we'd have to consider that. I think it is a worthy expenditure. I would ask that if we get clarity on whether we can do this as a deficiency, alone or with other deficiency bills, that we try to move it soon. I would hope we would have the bipartisan support for that. And with that, I renew my motion to lay this over for possible inclusion or just lay it over.
Representative Hansen renews his motion that House File 3474, as amended, be laid over. The bill is laid over. All right. We're going to move to Representative Nelson's, and I'm going to return to my vice chair.
You can continue this one. You've got
I have an amendment, so.
Yes, that would be my motion. I would move it to be referred to the Ways and Means. And
thank you. Therefore,
all right. Well, thank you. HF 3508. It's the dairy with an eye bill. There's a dairy margin coverage through the USDA. It's part of the Farm Bill, and it takes milk production takes previous history of milk production. And we have what the bill does is amends it because there are some dairy farms that have started since the date of what you're supposed to be using for the qualification. So everybody that has been a producer of milk, they would use the date from, I believe, the 2022 year. And if there's any new farms that have started up since then, would be able to use their basically the most recent production or whatever is considered applicable for this. So there's about 30 to 40 farms that fall under this category in the state. And, just to be able to expand this and to open it up to all farms, I think it's something that I would love to see happen and to be able to help the dairy industry out.
And we have several testifiers, so I think Representative Nelson, if we'd like to move to them.
Yep, we can go ahead and move to testifiers, and if there's questions after that, but yeah, testifiers.
First up, Garrett Luthens, President, Minnesota Milk. And Lucas Shostrom, Executive Director of Minnesota Milk. Welcome, and state your name for the record.
Thank you, Chair and committee members. Let's see if this is any better.
It's
soft. Hello, Chair, committee members. My name is Garrett Luthens. I serve as president of Minnesota Milk, and also I operate Skyview Dairy out of Hutchinson, Minnesota. It is a privilege to be here with you today and talk about Minnesota's rural dairy economy. There should be handouts for you guys that's going to be referring to the dairy deliverables. It's a data set that we've provided, and the referencing is from the International Dairy Foods Association. Right now, the dairy sector is driving $27 billion in total economic impact in our state. That is a 5.4% of Minnesota's GDP. Beyond the dollars, it's about the people. The dairy sector supports 88,000 total jobs. From that, 24,000 people are working directly on our farms and in the milk processing plants, to include the 63,000 indirect jobs in transportation, veterinary services, and construction that relies on us as a business. Every time a cow is milked in Minnesota, it creates a ripple effect through our economy, through wages that can put food on the table. Also, I want to touch briefly on the beef economy, because the two are in sync. The current strength in the beef market has been a crucial stabilizer for many of our dairy producers in Minnesota. The value of the beef is keeping many dairy farms' cash flow positive during a volatile time in the milk cycle. It is a reminder that agriculture is not just silos, it's an ecosystem. Looking forward, we are not just preserving what we have, we're building the next generation. This is why we're excited about the Dairy with an Eye program. This program is more than just a safety net, it's a launch pad. It gives new and beginning farmers the risk management tools they need to survive their for the now and for the future. We have a lot of talent in this room today amongst our dairy farmers and staff, and to dive a little bit deeper into specific policies that we do pull on and keep these numbers trending up, I'm going to hand it over to Lucas, our executive director.
Welcome. State your name for the record.
Mr. Chair and members, Lucas Shostrom, Executive Director of the Minnesota Milk Producers Association. Thank you, Mr. Chair, for allowing us to present this bill this morning. Thank you, Representative Nelson, for sponsoring this bill. Because of the order of things and the timing of things, Mr. Chair, I'm going to make sure to give my time to, we've got, I think, three more testifiers at least, if that's okay. And if we have time for a Dairy Day at the Capitol presentation, which includes ice cream, then I'll come back up here. So without further ado, we do have one more person who I know wants to come up. Rochelle Cranky is a dairy farmer from the Lester Prairie area. So if she could be added, if that's okay, Mr. Chair. Otherwise, I'd ask you to continue on with testifiers, and I'll come up if time allows. Thank you very much.
If the testifiers could come forward then. Welcome, and state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Emily Mollenhauer. I'm the State Director for Minnesota Dairy Initiative. As a state grant-receiving organization, MDI's mission is to provide technical and educational support to our dairy farmers rather than taking political positions. I'm here today to offer an on-the-ground perspective regarding the risk management concepts that are addressed in House File 3508. In the dairy sector, there's a constant reality of fluctuating milk prices, unpredictable weather and feed costs, and farmers carry an immense financial risk on their operations. For beginning farmers, this risk is even more magnified. They're just establishing their new operations and can often lack the capital reserves of established farms. For a new farmer, one bad year can be operationally devastating for them. Access to robust risk management tools provides a critical financial safety net for these farmers. It allows new farmers to weather early storms, secure necessary financing from lenders, and make long-term business decisions with confidence. But beyond these financial tools, managing risk also means having the right knowledge and guidance on the farm itself. That's where Minnesota Dairy Initiative steps in. MDI operates by connecting dairy farmers with a dedicated team of professionals, people like their veterinarians, financial advisors, nutritionists, and lenders. This team of people helps them evaluate their operations and plan for the future. For a new farmer, having this technical roadmap is just as crucial as having financial guardrails. It's about building a sustainable, profitable business model from day one. We are incredibly grateful for the broad industry collaboration that makes this grassroots work possible, including the steadfast support of the Minnesota Milk Producers Association. Through partnerships like these, we ensure that when a farmer faces a challenge or wants to modernize their dairy, they aren't doing it alone. Ensuring that our next generation has both the financial tools and the on-farm advisory support to mitigate risk is absolutely essential for sustaining the future of Minnesota's dairy industry. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Thank you, Chair Hansen. Again, for the record, my name is Hunter Peterson. I'm with Minnesota Farm Bureau Federation. Just want to express our support for the Dairy with an Eye program, but also the changes made by Representative Nelson's bill. The Dairy with an Eye program helps to incentivize and enhance the usage of the federal DMC, Dairy Margin Coverage Program, which provides more farmers with protection in the event of low milk prices. When the legislature renewed this program during the 2023 session, program payment amounts were based on a farm's milk production in 2022. So this bill clarifies that dairy farms with no or with partial production during that year are eligible for the program. And as was stated, I think the kicker with that, of course, is that this will allow new dairy farms to participate, which is very important. So just want to thank Representative Nelson for bringing the bill forward. I'd like to thank Representative Smith for being a co-author, as well as Representative Cha, and appreciate the opportunity to testify in support of the bill.
Thank you. Mackenzie Neely, welcome.
Thank you, Chairman Hansen and members of the agriculture community. For the record, my name is Mackenzie Mealy. I'm a student at Glencoe Silver Lake and an FFA member. First off, my name is Mackenzie Mealy. I'm a junior in high school and an FFA member. My family owns a first-generation small dairy farm. When this first got brought up, my family had just started out with their dairy farm, and we got granted a little bit of money to help our dairy farm, and that really helped boost and get our farm started. Financial struggles with a new dairy farm are a huge problem. A lot of new farmers starting up have almost nothing to work with, or if they do, is family owned and have a lot of financial problems. Most farmers have to work a second job in order to be somewhat financially stable. For example, both my parents work a job on top of the farm, and we're $5,000 to $10,000 in debt every single month. That's why I appreciate the opportunity to come and talk to you guys today. One thing that I think is huge is that most farmers that are new farmers start from the ground. My family originally bought a barn that was not made for dairy production at all. It took us 3 years to actually start producing milk. We bought heifers in the beginning and we didn't have any dairy production. So when the grant first got released, we barely met the needs of the milk production that they wanted us to have, which I think is very difficult. And I think that it shouldn't be that way, that they should have more leniency. I originally came here today with my ag issues group. We presented on land availability a while ago and the impact that that has on farmers, and I think that still applies to dairy farmers as well. For example, my family owns 7 acres of land. So that is not enough to grow crops, hay, everything that you would need. So there is a big financial burden when it comes to all of that stuff. And I appreciate your guys' work on this issue and the investment, not just in young people like me, but also the future of rural communities and the future of dairy production. Thank you, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you guys have.
Thank you. Next testifier.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and Committee. My name is Rochelle Krinke. I own and operate a dairy farm with my family out west of here by Hutchinson, Minnesota, and I'm here today to speak in support of the Minnesota Dairy Initiatives Program. Our farm formed our first MDI team in 1998. At the time, we were bringing home our fifth generation to the dairy, and we expanded our herd from 60 to 120 cows. And in the ensuing years, we've grown to 700 cows, and we've maintained our MDI team. MDI helps bring the professionals that support your dairy business to the table, and it provides the structure to maintain the meetings and the minutes and provides accountability for the changes you say you're going to make. This year, we're in the final permitting process for a multi-million dollar expansion to our dairy and to welcome our sixth generation farmers home to our dairy, and we look forward to having MDI by our side to support us. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to testify for or against the bill? Anyone in the audience? Are there any questions for the testifiers? Representative Smith, I believe you have an A1 amendment.
I do have that, Chair. I would like to move Amendment A1, and I would want to request a roll call on this amendment.
Representative Smith, could you explain your amendment?
So this is a good bill. I'm very proud to be the second author on this bill. In Olmsted County, we have dairy farms that will benefit from this bill. So I will be voting yes on this bill. But this also adds a unencumbered balance provision that if there is leftover money, this is not taking money from any dairy farms, but if there is leftover money after disbursement, that money goes into the local food purchasing assistant grant program so that we can help Minnesotans in a time that they're really needed. Chair, I have some longer comments. Do you want, is this a good time for it, or should I wait until the amendment discussion?
Maybe if there are questions to you on the and discussion on the amendment, maybe you could talk now.
Okay, I didn't want to preempt. And I just want to emphasize again what I said before. This is a good bill. This is not trying at all to get to the heart of this bill. But I do think this is a time where we should talk about folks who were not able to testify today to that bill. And I want to tell the story of one of those folks, a man named Joseph Myers. Mr. Myers worked as a farmhand on a dairy farm in St. Peter for 4 decades. 40 years of working on a dairy farm takes a toll on a body. Mr. Myers is now 58 years old. He's quoted as saying that job was the most painful job I ever had, he said. He's unable to work now because of the condition of his body. He now works 10 to 12 hours a week at the St. Peter food shelf, and he receives food assistance through the Federal Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, SNAP. I said receives, but I should say received, past tense, because starting on April 1st, in just 35 days, he will no longer receive that food assistance that was critical to him. Because of the expanded work requirements imposed on him by federal Republicans and the Trump administration in the so-called One Big Beautiful Bill Act. And Mr. Myers is not alone. Again, in 35 days, somewhere between 25 and 30,000 Minnesotans will lose access to their SNAP benefits. Could be because, like Mr. Myers, the increase in age for able-bodied adults to work from 54 to 64. Or it could be the elimination of a lot of categories of exemptions for SNAP benefits, like veterans, like people experiencing homelessness, like young adults aging out of the foster care system, or parents and caregivers with children between the ages of 14 and 18, all now left without that critical assistance that the federal SNAP benefit offers. Mr. Myers says, it gives me a headache, a big one. We're stocked up on stuff, so we're doing okay now. But when the food stamps come to an end, because I'm not making 80 hours, then it's going to be real suffering. Suffering. And at the federal level, Republicans have the audacity to call that bill beautiful. It is completely unacceptable to claim to advocate for Minnesota's agricultural industry in the same breath that we are not supporting folks like Mr. Myers, who is working in that industry. how can we let someone who has dedicated his life to feeding people go hungry? It's imperative for us in this committee, the Agriculture Committee, where we talk about growing food, where we talk about the industry surrounding it and sale of grain and price of commodities, to not just get caught up in those discussions, but also to talk about what is critical that we all want, which is food to go to the hungry. And unfortunately, because of the Trump administration, there's going to be a lot more hungry Minnesotans. And we have a duty to help them. This amendment is a simple one. Our local food purchasing assistance program is something that has been bipartisan. It's a great program to help folks who need assistance get that assistance. It's not going to be able to substitute for all the cuts in SNAP, but it will help. And I hope our committee as a whole will be dedicated to finding funding streams for this great program all throughout session, and I think this amendment is a good starting point for that. Thank you, Chair, and thank you, committee.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Co-Chair Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair, and Vice Chair Smith, for your words. Not quite sure. You mentioned 80 hours as being the work requirement. I don't believe it's that high from what I've read, but I don't know for sure if you have the exact numbers.
Representative Smith.
I can double check with nonpartisan. I believe it's 80 hours, but it is a month. 80 hours a month, not a week, if that's helpful.
Co-Chair Anderson.
Hey, thanks again, Mr. Chair and Vice Chair Smith. I think before we would approve this, we should get some background of what the department feels is going to be utilized here. You know, this program originally was $8 million. And it was dropped to $7 million, and we worked to maintain a portion of it, and now it's down to $3 million. And I was at the dairy gathering last night, and folks were encouraged to sign up for the program because, like a lot of aspects in farming right now, not a lot of money in dairy either. Milk prices are down, production is up. And it's tight in dairy as well. So I would fully expect that this entire appropriation, as it's been whittled down from seven down to $3 million, will be utilized. If somebody from the department could come up and give us a projection, I would certainly appreciate hearing what they think is going to happen when we open up this funding.
I think they're deciding who's coming up. Commissioner Peterson?
Mr. Chair, members, Tom Peterson, Commissioner for the Department of Agriculture. And looking at Representative Smith's, Vice Chair Smith's amendment, We don't think that there, you know, would be dollars left over. Looking at the last time, we had a minimal amount of dollars left over from the program. The way the process is, we'll take the applications in, and then we would then at that point allocate the dollars. And the goal is to not have any. And last time there wasn't much. It was minimal what was left over, a couple thousand dollars, literally. So, I mean, theoretically, you could put that through there. I don't, you know, I hope that there's no money left over. We wanted this money to go to dairy farmers. That being said, we also, you know, do see the LFPA, we've renamed it, that program's open. We do see there will be a tremendous response for that. And we do, you know, commit to working with, you know, everybody to try to find more dollars for that program if that is the case. And so I understand your conundrum and everything, but that is our goal with the program.
Co-Chair Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Commissioner Peterson. Yeah, I would concur with that there is a need for the program you mention and refer, and I think we would be willing to work with you trying to, you know, turn over cushions and stones and find some funding, but I don't think this is a place to do that. If anything is left, it's going to be minimal, you know, a couple of thousand dollars, which, you know, couple thousand dollars, I guess, but statewide or whatever, it wouldn't make a lot of an impact. So I would pledge to you to work with you and try to find funding that's more stable and a larger sum. But for now, I would prefer to keep this $3 million intact for what it was intended for, the dairy margin protection plan, the dairy program here in the state. As we've fought to keep this for 3, 4, 5 years when the feds couldn't get a farm bill done, and now they finally did something and we could make the program available. So I would like to see the entire amount to stay where it was supposed to with the dairy program. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Vice Chair Smith. I thank you for your amendment and your desire to help, because it hurts when we see people that are hungry, and I appreciate the conversation. I would ask for a no vote on this. I think we've heard from the department, we've heard from dairy farmers that there very likely will be no money left over, and so I think unfortunately the local foods purchasing assistant grant, there wouldn't be any money for it, or very very likely, and I think that if we're going to do that, and I believe I was a co-author on that bill last year, I would much rather find something that has a fund, some significant funds that is actually able to do some good instead of a possibility of some leftover that might happen sometime this summer. And with that, I would encourage a no vote on it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just want to say thank you, Chair Anderson, for your remarks too. And we do have a bill that Representative Nelson is working with me on, House File 3693, to increase the funding for the local food purchasing program. And so as we move forward, hopefully we could find some money in the committee to up that program so that we could help out the needy Minnesotans that Representative Smith mentioned. And so just want to say thank you to Representative Nelson for signing on to that bill, and also to the chair for his comments too. Thank you.
Representative Smith, in closing.
Yeah, I'll be brief. Simply to clarify that under my amendment, no money is going to be taken from any dairy farm in this program. The amendment will read, if we adopt it, any unencumbered balance after June 30th, 2026 may be used for the local food purchasing assistant grant under laws, et cetera. So no money is going to be taken from any dairy farm in the state of Minnesota under this. That is not in any way the intent of this bill. But the intent is, as Chair Anderson said, if there's even just a couple thousand dollars at a critical time where there's going to be potentially 30,000 more hungry Minnesotans, I think that's good, as well as finding other streams of revenue that are much bigger, which I also appreciate both Representative Nelson and Chair Anderson, your comments on that, and I believe you. I think we'll be able to do some good work on that in this committee. I just think that we can start this today, even if it is a small amount. I think it's a good place to start.
Clerk will take the roll.
Chair Hansen?
Aye.
Hansen, aye. Chair Anderson? Anderson, no. Vice Chair Smith?
Aye.
Smith, aye. Vice Chair Harder?
No.
Harder, no. Representative Agbaje?
Aye.
Agbaje, aye. Representative Burkle?
Burkle, no.
I'm sorry.
Burkle, no.
Burkle, no. Representative Frederick?
Aye.
Frederick, aye. Representative Gander?
No.
Gander, no. Representative Gottfried?
Gottfried, aye.
Gottfried, aye. Representative Jacob?
Jacob, no.
Jacob, no. Representative Lawrence?
Representative Lawrence, no.
Lawrence, no. Representative Lee?
Lee, aye.
Aye. Representative Nelson?
Nelson, no.
Nelson, no. Representative Vang?
Vang, aye.
Vang, aye.
There is not a majority, so the amendment does not.
Yeah, I think I just have some inform questions to kind of help me understand this bill. Representative Nelson, because commissioner said that the money is expected to be spent with this new language. I'm curious to see. Well, I guess maybe this is for the, so two questions. Maybe perhaps the first question will be for the commissioner, whether, what are the demographics of the dairy farm that the dairy program has served so far in terms of size and demographics of the farmers? And then, Representative Nelson, with this new language, I guess how many more new farms is expected to be served, and what are the typical size and demographics you expect to be served with this?
Representative Nelson and the okay. Department.
Mr. Chair and Representative Vang, to the second question, there's approximately 30 to 40 farms that will, additional farms that will be served with this, and they are, of all the farms served within this, that is, comes out of the $3 million pool. So it's not $3 million to 30 or 40 people, or 30 or 40 farms. It's to the whole, to the whole pool of dairy farms in the state. And the, under the guidelines or the qualifications for the program, the maximum, I think it's 16 million pounds of milk that can be produced. And for, so that might wonder, well, how many, what size is that? I was a former dairy farmer myself. I sold the dairy cows in 2018, and we produced about 1 million pounds of milk a year off of a 50-cow dairy. And so you're looking at somewhere maybe up to around 500 or 600 cows farm, but I don't know, you know, of the dairy farms that are starting, I don't know their size or anything of what would qualify, but I think maybe somebody from the department would be able to answer that.
Welcome. State your name for the record.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members. For the record, my name is Paul Huguenin, and I'm Director of the Ag Marketing and Development Division at the Department of Agriculture. And as the author stated, in terms of new farmers that would be eligible for this that weren't producing in 2022, that's a really small number, maybe 30 at most is what we're talking about. I don't know the demographics of those folks. Other than that, they would have the same eligibility requirements to participate, which means the maximum production is 16 million pounds per year. So, you know, somewhere in that 500, 750 cow range.
Representative Vang? Any other questions to the bill?
Thank you.
Representative Lee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe for the department, being a new member of the committee, don't really know too much about this too. And so just trying to figure out, is there a cap to how much assistance a farmer can get based off the size? You know, I think I mentioned if you have, you produce 16 million compared to, you know, Representative Nelson's producing 1 million, are they getting the same amount of assistance, or how do they go about awarding those grants? Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members, thank you. Thank you for the question. So the program is based, payments are made on the first 5 million pounds of production. So to be eligible, you have to be 16 million pounds of production or less. And then everybody would get paid on up to the first 5 million pounds. So to give you an example of how that worked, when we did Dairy with an Eye 1.0 several years ago, there was $8 million of funding, so more than twice what this level is. Average payment for farm was just over $4,000. The largest farms, so farms who had at least 5 million pounds of production, they received $11,500. So you can kind of extrapolate from there, we'll be less than half of that this time, assuming we get the same level of sign up from farms.
So, well, thank you for entertaining this bill today. It's an honor to be able to carry this as a former dairy farmer myself. There was a publication in the, it's called the Minnesota Dairy Star, and I don't remember, maybe the author still writes in there, but he was a columnist, and he tagged himself as a recovering dairy farmer, and so sometimes I will use that term because to Representative Smith, it is hard on your body. You know, it is something that it does wear on your joints and your everything, and it is tiring work to do. But you know, I thank you for this discussion today, and I would renew my motion to send this to Ways and Means.
Representative Nelson,
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, say no.
I would move House File 3475 to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee. So members, again, as I described on the previous bill, Co-Chair Anderson and I split duties here. And in my previous chair, we provided an update on authority for boards and commissions in the environment sphere where they could provide per diem to the citizen members, not the legislative members. Under law, legislative members are paid what we're paid normally here. So this would be being permissive. And I want to clarify just with nonpartisan staff online, 1.13 may be compensated. So that allows that the boards have to vote on if they're increasing the per diem. And they don't have to go to 125. They could go to 86 or they could go to 60. But that is a decision the board would make. This provides them with the authority to make that decision only for the citizen members and only in the next biennium. So it does not affect this budget year. And maybe Ms. Millenbach or Mr. Savory could hopefully validate that I'm correct on line 1.13.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Chair members, I believe it says may be compensated at a rate of 125 per day. That is it's permissive for the 125, but it wouldn't be up to. We could do an oral amendment to add up to, if you would like. And then Mr. Savory can talk about the fiscal implications.
Thank you, Ms. Malbeck. Mr. Savory?
Chair and members, speaking to kind of the fiscal component of this, this particular bill has about 3475 doesn't create any additional appropriations. So money, for as an example, that was appropriated to AURI would be the money that would be utilized to pay additional per diem to others.
Thank you, Mr. Shavery. Representative Hanson, would you like to offer an oral amendment?
I would move the up to be clear, absolutely clear that it's an up to. Move that oral amendment.
Representative Hanson has moved an oral amendment. Maybe I'll go back to Ms. Mollenbeck to state it clearly before we move to voting.
Chair members, the oral amendment would be page 1, line 13, after the third of, insert up to.
Giving everyone a moment. Oral amendments are a little interesting. Any questions before we move?
I would ask for your support.
Chair Anderson, did you want to ask a question?
No, I appreciate the amendment, and I will support it.
All right. Chair Hanson, would you like to say something to your amendment? Question from Representative Lawrence. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, thank you very much. Quick question. What made you pick $125? What was the basis for that number? Curious.
Chair Hanson.
Mr. Chair, I wanted to make sure we were equal to the environment sphere, which that was $125.
Okay. Thank you.
And the watershed districts and soil and water districts.
Any follow-up?
Nope, perfect. Okay. Thank you.
All right, so Representative Hanson, we have one more question from Chair Anderson.
This came from my astute researcher here. I think we only made one change on line 1.13, but also needs to be changed on 2.2. Or did you do that?
As you were saying that, Chair Anderson, I got a tap on the arm that we do need a second oral amendment for the second page. So
found it, yeah.
Thank you. Mr. Nisler, do you want to go ahead and offer that second oral amendment, Ms. Mollenbeck, if you want to make that clear?
Chair members, the oral amendment would be page 2, line 2, before $125, insert up to.
So I believe, Mr. Chair,
Chair Hanson.
That would be my motion for both of those corrections as an oral amendment.
All right, so Chair Hansen has offered a oral amendment. I'm not seeing any more discussion necessary. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Do we have testifiers to this bill today? I believe we have the I know we have the director in the House.
I thought we were voting on the bill.
Director Schlecht, when you are seated, please feel free to start your testimony. And please state your name for the record again.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Shannon Schlecht, Executive Director at ARI. I just want to say thank you for approving this. We have a volunteer board of 11 members, right? 9 citizen members, 2 legislative members. We currently compensate directors at $55 a day, and this gives us some flexibility. As other directors, you receive higher compensation levels on different boards, right? Gives us some flexibility to be on par with what others are doing if the board so desires to do so. So thank you for considering this.
Sure. Chair Smith, members of the committee, my name is Sarah Dornick. I'm the executive director of the Minnesota Agricultural Education Leadership Council, or MALESE. I'm here to testify in support of 3475, which would increase per diem rates. I haven't had any board members have an issue with our per diem rate, but I know that they would definitely appreciate the compensation that would be received. And I agree about the flexibility is very important within the statute. To allow us to work within whatever compensation rates are needed to constitute a day spent on board activities. So just thank you for your time and considering this bill.
Wonderful. Thank you. Any questions for our testifiers before we do have a couple? All right. Representative Jacob will go first, then Vice Chair Hart will get to your question.
Thank you, Chair Smith. So following up on Representative Lawrence's question, the number 125, so the response was that to make it the same as environment. How did we get to 125 in environment? And, you know, from 55 to 125, you just quickly did the math, that's like 120-some percent. And that's unusual for someone to get 120-some percent raise. I certainly could get behind 10, 15, 20%. That makes sense to me. 120%, explain justification.
Did you direct that? Generally, or question?
Pretty often.
Okay, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, if you take it over 30 or 40 years, it's not very much. If you take these provisions for per diem at $55 were generally set at inception and have not been changed. And I know that for LCCMR, it was 35 years. So if you take the inflation rate over 35 years, 55 to 125, I mean, it's comparable. And it also provides a flexibility for these boards to set it at a lower rate that we just did, same as we did with the environment. The Soil and Water District boards have to vote for it. They are elected officials, and they are accountable to the public. The Watershed District boards are appointed by the county commissioners, and they are also elected. So it provides a check on it, and also, we can look at that with their dollars. So the inflationary rate over 35 years, I think I don't have that off the top of my head, but 120% is not within 1 year. It's when the rate was set at $55, whether at the beginning of ARI or the beginning of MAALC or the beginning of LCCMR or Outdoor Heritage.
Representative Jacobs, did you want to follow up?
Yeah, I'll just leave it with a comment. It'd be palatable to me in steps, but I can't support 120% increase all at once.
Thank you, Rep. Jacob. Vice Chair Harder, did you have a question?
Yes, thank you, Chair Smith. My question is, from time to time, per diems are set, right? And you have your number of people on the board, and sometimes it's difficulty to find people to fulfill those positions, and so then sometimes from there that's when the per diems start to rise. So I'm just curious, on your boards, have you had difficulty finding people to serve?
Either of our testifiers want to take that question?
Sure. Mr. Chair, Representative Harder, we've had a good interest in our board positions overall for ARI over the time that I've been on the board. overall. So I'd say some roles are harder than others, right, to recruit and to find time, and others we receive a lot more interest in participation. So it kind of depends on what role is open and just timing.
Go ahead.
Chair Smith, Representative. For us, we're slightly different. Most of ours are in statute of who serves on our board. So we actually only have about three positions. Well, we have our governor appointees that go through the Secretary of State's office. The rest are appointed by the organizations. And so we only have 3 to 5 members that actually claim this per diem besides legislators. And so of our governor appointees this last round, we had good participation for those. But this is minimal for us on impact.
Vice Chair Hart, did you want to follow up on that?
Yes, one more question. So I don't know the people that are serving on your boards. Do some of them travel great distance? Like, where do you meet at? Are they traveling 4 or 5 hours? Can you just tell me a little bit more about what goes into that per diem? Thank you.
I imagine that's different for each testifier. Please give a brief answer.
Sure, Mr. Chair, Representative Harder. For us, it's the per diem is for their service for the day that we provide per diem. We also do reimburse for actual expenses, right, for mileage, lodging, meals, as well as part of this. So per diem is really just for their time that is spent. Not all of our directors take the per diem. Some do, right, so it's voluntary in terms of what they're doing there as well. But it is for time in service to their position on the board.
Chair, Representative, for us, same thing as for the time, they get separate mileage. We meet twice in person, and they do travel from around the state. We try to find a centralized spot in the summer. We try to find somewhere outstate. In December, we usually meet in the metro. And then our other meetings and our committee meetings are all virtual.
Thank you, testifiers. Any follow-up? Okay. Is there anyone in the public in the room who would like to testify on the bill? Don't see any movement. We'll move to general discussion of the bill. Any member discussion or questions on the bill generally? I see Chair Anderson. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just to clarify, I know this is cutting into ice cream time, so I'll be really quick. You know, I serve on these boards, but notice the language. This does not impact House and Senate members. Otherwise, I would totally recuse myself. But this is just for the citizen members, not for those who serve in the House and Senate. So just want to make that clarification.
Thank you for that clarification. It's a good, important clarification. Representative Hansen, do you have any closing remarks on your bill?
I'd ask for your support.
All right, wonderful. So Representative Hansen renews his motion that House File 3475, as amended, be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, say no.
No.
The motion prevails.
Thank you. And I think do we need to close the meeting or bring them up for the presentation? Well, we should bring it up.
Chair Anderson, anything to say?
No.
Announcements? What's coming up next?
Meeting next Monday. We're working on the agenda. And thanks to the dairy folks for hanging around. We had to go longer in the floor session. But thank you. We appreciate what you do. I mean, yeah, it's a hard job. Capital intensive, 24/7, 7 days a week, all year round. So thank you. It's a great product, and we all enjoy it. Thanks. Keep the
meeting open. Oh, okay.
So we will keep the meeting open. So the testimony and the video.
Well, I have some pretty awful news. Your security is tight here. So great job. We care with the department's regulatory arm right to my right very much about food safety, so we put the ice cream bars outside so they'd stay frozen, and they are no longer there. So so good job to Capitol Security. We are trying to track them down. So if I may, I'll play the video, and we do have the Buck family here who the video is about. They're our producers of the year. One other thing I do want to mention on the Dairy with an Eye bill that you just passed, and I know we shouldn't testify on things that are already done and we won on, but because some of you are on Ways and Means, what was not said is they're signing up for a federal program, and if they would reach that top level of $4,000 to $5,000, they are committing to a six-year $108,000 commitment. So that's what they have to enroll in. So they're not just receiving money. It's more of a rebate for a federal program. So with no further ado, I apologize about the ice cream, Mr. Chair, but I would like to play the video.
Proceed with the video.
Hi, I'm Dave Buck. My wife Ann and I farm near Goodhue. We moved here in 1991 after farming with our family for 15 years.
We bought this farm. A neighbor came to us and offered his farm to us, so we were very thankful for that.
Well, I grew up on a dairy farm. I went to 1 year of college, and then my father got killed in a farm accident. I came home and dairy farmed full-time then.
Yeah, we have six children, and we have 25 grandchildren that come and help out periodically. The kids were active in the farm growing up, and now the grandkids are also helping out when they can.
You know, we've always been changing. It seems like every year we were adding a little something or other, but we gradually expanded the herd to 1,000 by growing 100 or 200 cows at a time. Currently, we are in probably by far our biggest project is building a rotary parlor and adding about 400 cows. So we're in the middle of a big project right now.
And we never thought we would grow like we have. Equipment wears out. Our parlor was 50 years old, so we had to make a decision going forward.
We have numerous guys who have been working here for more than 10 years, and some over 20 years.
We try to treat our employees almost like another family member.
It's really easy to get guys to show up to drive tractor when you tell them that the famous Ann Buck lunch will come out about 3 o'clock.
You know, I think the future of our farm will be wherever the next generation takes it. I feel good about the spot they're in and very happy that it is ongoing, that they wanted to come back and take on that challenge.
Dad's big thing was, if you're coming home, what do you bring to the table? And that's how we ended up with a custom manure business and doing steers as well. So I don't think it's just a dairy thing. It could be other things as well, but whatever we're doing, we need to do the best job we can at it.
I think we need to continue what our parents have started and keep growing, and that's one thing I've learned from them is you always got to look for ways to improve, and I think that's the challenge for him and I is to keep improving and keep getting better and keep their legacy alive.
We are blessed that we get to see our parents every single day and live so close to them, and our kids get to hang out with their grandparents all the time. Not many people in our generation get that privilege.
I started out as a school teacher and coaching sports.
I worked in the radio industry for a few years out of high school and college.
We were very happy that they came back, but we're very happy that they also, after high school, left the farm and did something else, because it just gives them more perspective.
Most farmers that are watching this video understand that transitioning doesn't happen. It's an ever-evolving thing that honestly probably never ends, because by the time you get transitioned to the one generation, you're working on the next one.
Farmers are notorious for kind of putting things off sometimes, and it's one of those things you shouldn't put off. You really need to. If you're thinking about it, it means you should probably already be doing it.
I think around here, everyone's patient with it. Everyone's happy with how it's gone. Mom and Dad have been very open about it, and that's been very important.
I was on the school board for 12 years and involved with dairy promotion, trying to get the milk machine in our schools. I was on the wellness committee there, too.
I think just getting our message out to the public is still, going forward, going to be one of our most important things and probably one of our biggest challenges.
I just think dairy milk, dairy products are essential in our diet. Dairy is it. It's just a good, good product.
I've been on various dairy boards most of my working career, I guess, from township to DHIA, creamery boards, and then Minnesota Milk Board, where I eventually was chairman. I found them all rewarding, and one of the most rewarding aspects of Minnesota Milk was just getting to see other dairy farmers and learn about them and their operations.
I currently serve on the Ag Partners Board of Directors, Local Insurance Company Board, and then I also am on the Goodhue County Planning and Zoning Commission. It's been very good learning about all the rules, regulations, and having a voice on that board that is a farmer that can help fight for farmers.
I think I gave back to the industry over my lifetime. Again, I kind of stress that to our children too, to give back, because we've gotten so much from it.
Thank you for the time, Mr. Chair. Very much appreciate it. And if you have any questions, I know you're closing, please let us know.
Would the Bucks like to say anything? Would they like to say?
Bucks, would you like to come forward?
You don't have to if you don't want to. Welcome, and just state your name for the record and any thoughts you have.
Chairman. Ann Buck.
David Buck. Thank you for having us on the agenda. Thank you for what you do for the dairy industry. It's a huge part of agriculture in Minnesota. Dairy, in my opinion, I might be a little biased, but is the best ag industry in Minnesota. We produce our own fertilizer. You don't have to get it from a foreign country. A good, healthy food product, and it's good for the soil. We use the manure on our soil. We have crop rotations, cover crops, alfalfa. I just think we are the best part of agriculture in Minnesota. So.
Yes, I guess I'd just like to thank all of you. I don't know how you find your way around here, because we've been lost all day. So I appreciate all your time. I know you don't get many pats on the back like you should, so we appreciate all of you and your input and your support for our industry. And also you, the recovering dairy farmer, we understand.
As long as I have this bully pulpit, I might bring up a few issues.
Oh, no.
If that pleased the chair.
Go ahead, but not too long.
So we, in our expansion the past year, we had a lot to do with Pollution Control Agency, and they are very thorough, as they should be. The problem we had was we met everything. All the T's were crossed, I's were dotted, and then we had to wait 30 days for public comment. And I've been told that 1% of the projects get public comment. So we're sitting there in June or July, waiting for permission from Pollution Control for 30 days. We're ready to move. And Pollution Control has said we're good to go. But this public comment period, and I understand possibly the need for it, but it could be a week long. I mean, it's just, if your project is controversial and people are going to comment it, it isn't going to take 30 days. You're on the scoreboard, and they know what's going on. So that would be one ask I would have. On the tax side, there's we just had our taxes done this past week, so it was, and our accountant said he had sent a letter to Chairman Davids on a bill for tax conformity, and I think it has to do with LLCs and that can pay in and get it credited back to us. It flows back to us personally. 30 states have that already. And if I'm correct, I think Minnesota had it and it expired. So I guess that would be one ask out of the, if any of you are on the tax committee or whatever. But I appreciate your willingness to listen to my concerns.
I think we are done. So thank you for being here and thank you for giving your opinion. Our next meeting is Co-Chair Anderson will be next Monday, and then the gavel will come back next Wednesday to us. So with that, we are adjourned.